Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in. Another great guest here to introduce you to and another excellent book to tell you about. First of all, it's called The Devil's Newsroom. It's by pastor and author Jeff Shreve. And we're just excited to talk about the book, the topics in here. He is the pastor of First Baptist Church, Texarkana, and he's got a ministry degree. He's got several ministry degrees. He's been at this for many, many years, and he's got a podcast with his wife. His main website, fromhisheart.org. There it is, fromhisheart.org. Jeff Shreve, welcome to Worldview Matters. Good to see you, brother.
Hey, thanks, David. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, thank you for your time and for writing a great book. The title, very provocative. It drew me in right away because, man, there's the father of lies and the fake news today is off the charts in every aspect of our culture, not just the media, government, public schools, Hollywood. Oh, my goodness. Is there any part of culture where the fake news and the lies haven't been really kind of headlining? You know, what do you think about that in all of our culture?
We're just swimming in lies. And so, David, kind of the premise of the book is because the devil is not just a liar among liars, he's the father of lies. Jesus said that in John 8:44. So every lie is going to trace back to him because Jesus said there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies. And so in the devil's newsroom, we want to expose this one known as the devil, how he became the devil, and how he works to deceive, to keep people from heaven, and then to deceive Christians from enjoying the abundant life that the Lord promised to for us to have.
So the book website, friends, you can go directly to it. It's called thedevilsnewsroom.com, thedevilsnewsroom.com. So, Jeff, I think I saw somewhere, do you do a podcast with your wife at From His Heart?
Well, I'm on the radio with American Family Radio every weekday morning from 8:05 to 9 a.m. Central Time. She's awesome. On there sometimes with me, but daily radio is it's very daily.
Yeah, and you got to be on your toes and keep up with that. By the way, I love American Family Association. I love AFA, the work that they've done over the years, Tim and Don Wildman, and so praise God. It's a great opportunity to be there. So congrats on that. It's a great platform and great organization. So I think the question is, or the answer is quite obvious, but because of all that's going on in our culture, in America, but also kind of in the church with the lies, the quote, fake news, false teachings. Is there anything other than those things that led you to write this book at this time?
Well, you know, the impetus for this book came about many years ago when Donald Trump was running for president, and he kind of made famous the little phrase "fake news." You're fake news, you know. He called out different news organizations, and so I preached a series of messages called "Fake News: Exposing the Lies of the Devil," and so that was, I think, in 2013, and so we kind of took some of that and expounded upon it and massaged it some. And we didn't want to use the term fake news in the book title as far as the main title. So one of the girls in our office came up with the Devil's Newsroom and really exposing, you know, we're trying to shine the light on the devil's lies so that Christians will be able to discern, hey, what is the truth here? And how do I keep my senses, as the Bible says in Hebrews 5:14, my senses trained to discern good and evil. Very critical in the days in which we live.
Yes, that's good. And by the way, friends, you know, God bless President Trump for calling out the lies, the hypocrisy, the bias, the corruption in the mainstream progressive liberal media. That's what started me writing and getting into this kind of work years and years ago. I couldn't believe what the media was getting away with. and the fact that too many Americans were believing it and falling for it. And the church, mm-hmm. we're human. We're Bible-believing Christians. We're human. We get affected by the lies also. Let's go back to one of the original lies. Did God really say, doesn't a lot of it kind of, isn't a lot of it spun from that original lie of the enemy?
Yeah, so the enemy is, as I said, he's not just a liar. He's the father of lies and the master liar. And so when you analyze Genesis 3 and his interaction with Eve, we know that's the devil because it tells us in Revelation 12, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. Mm-hmm. David, sometimes we have skeptics that'll say, well, you Christians believe in talking snakes. Well, I believe in a talking devil, and that was who came to Eve, and he got her all twisted, and if you look at how he does it in an economy of words. He doesn't say a lot to her that's recorded in Scripture. There may have been more that's not recorded there, but he takes the first thing out of his mouth, he takes the Word of God and twists it and adds a question mark and gets Eve to start questioning the goodness of God, the character of God. Can God really be trusted? And then from there, once she kind of starts falling in line with his line of questioning, then he starts to deny the Word, and then he twists it to say, you know, you eat of this fruit, and guess what? You're not going to die, which is a blatant lie, but you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And David, the thing that is so terrible about that is God wants us to be like him. 1 John 3 says that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But the devil wanted Eve to not depend upon God, be independent of God, eat of this fruit, and you can be your own God, and you won't need God. And that's really the heart of sin. When we're tempted to sin, it's because we want to be our own God. We want to be our own boss, call our own shots. And that's really at the heart of every sin.
Amen, brother. Good explanation. By the way, I want to mention the foreword was written by U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Governor Mike Huckabee, author, a pastor. He's a former governor of Arkansas. And he said, Jeff Shreve is one of the most gifted biblical communicators in America. How did you connect with Mike Huckabee?
So Mike used to pastor before he went into politics. He used to pastor here in Texarkana. He was on the Arkansas side. I'm on the Texas side. So he's had a connection to Texarkana and comes back periodically. A lot of people in our church are friends with him. And so Mike's been to First Baptist Texarkana. He's preached for me before. Awesome. And we've just developed a good friendship. He was very kind and gracious to write that very nice foreword.
Yes, yes. What a blessing. Also, just want to mention some of the endorsements before we dive into the meat of the book a little bit more. Kirk Cameron, Jeff Kinley, who we've had on the podcast, Bishop E.W. Jackson, we've had on the podcast, Alex McFarland, we've had, he's just blessing this great men of God endorsing the book. So let's get back to how Satan is using the misinformation crisis to spread lies, and that as part of his agenda.
Well, he, you know, he'll play off of things. One of the chapters in the book, David, is I call it spinning your circumstances. And the devil loves to take negative circumstances that hit your life, that hit my life. It's just part of the deal here in a fallen world. But he takes those to try and give us misinformation, disinformation, blatant lies. God's not good. God can't be trusted. God doesn't love you. Your prayers don't go anywhere. Things aren't ever going to get better, you know, all that kind of stuff. And sadly, so many buy into that lie. And one of the things I mentioned in the book, and I think this is just something that I learned over the years, the reason why the devil's lies are so easily swallowed is because they tend to always match up with our feelings. And when we sin terribly, when the bottom drops out of our lives, when we get the phone call that says you have cancer or your loved one has been in a serious accident or you get a pink slip at work, whatever it might be, you can feel very abandoned. You can feel like God has, you know, left you in the dust and And the devil, he emphasizes that and says, that's right. God doesn't care about you. God doesn't love you. See your circumstances. And he's constantly trying to get us to take our eyes off Jesus and onto the circumstances, kind of like what Peter did when he was walking on water. He was doing well until it says, seeing the wind, he became afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. So if we get our eyes off Jesus and put our eyes on our circumstances, we're dead meat. And his lies will come in like a flood, and they will sound so true and so real. Just like David with Goliath. I mean, Saul told him, you can't fight him. You're a youth, and he's been a warrior since he was a kid, you know. Everything from the physical, from the natural says no, but we're to walk by faith and not by sight.
I love the example you gave of Peter and how in our lives there is so much more than just a storm and waves of water that vie for our attention and distract us and get our eyes off of Christ, especially with all the technology today. Do you touch on that as well, Jeff, as some of those things that, you know, because it can take you down a road that's not going to help your walk with Christ?
Yeah, the book, we don't really go into that in the book, but that's a real problem. The distractions in the Christian life are probably at an all-time high. I'm 63 years old, David, and, you know, when I was growing up as a kid, we had like three major channels and two UHF channels, and we played outside a lot. And there, you know, I mean, the biggest video game was Pong or pinball, you know. So the distractions that kids have today and the opportunity for them to get into major league trouble before they're even 15 years old is just astronomical. Yeah. And so parents need to be vigilant what's going on with their kids and need to be praying and praying hedges of protection around their kids, just as Job prayed about his kids. But that the book doesn't talk as much about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're dating ourselves, but I remember Pac-Man, and I actually played that and other things. That was a while back, and when there were actually arcades. But
yes.
So Jeff, what is it that make the devil's lies so believable? Is it the fact that maybe there's a little bit of truth or something that sounds good?
Yes. Yeah, the devil, there's a rule in aviation, David, that says it's called the 1-in-60 rule. And it says for every 1 degree you're off your flight plan, as you travel 60 miles, you'll be a mile off course.
Wow.
And so 1 degree is not a whole lot. And so the devil really specializes in that 1 degree off. So he'll give things. I think it was Charles Spurgeon that says that the challenge is not between good and evil. It's between what is right and what is almost right. And so we have to be discerning, because what he'll tell us will sound good. It seems plausible. For instance, I have a chapter in the book about the world's most believed lie. And the world's most believed lie is that good works somehow fit into our salvation. And, you know, in whole or in part, either you get saved completely by good works, or it's Jesus plus your good works that get you to heaven. And the Bible's very clear. It has nothing to do with works. It has to do with what he did on the cross. Now, good works are a result of salvation, but they're not the product of salvation. They don't produce salvation.
We're going to take a brief pause here, Jeff, but I want you to repeat what you just shared about. I love that Spurgeon quote. Right or almost right. And could you repeat that about the pilots, the aviators, 1 out of 6? Could you repeat that again? I think that's very profound and very applicable.
Yeah. So the 1-in-60 rule. So for every 1 degree that you're off your flight plan, traveling 60 miles, you're going to be a mile off course. So if you go across the country, you know, from JFK to LAX, and you're 1 degree off, that's a difference between landing at the airport or landing in the ocean. It makes a big difference.
Wow. That's huge. And I'm thinking about applying that, you know, when you apply it to the Christian life and in the Word of God, if we're off the Word of God and we're just 1 degree, oh my goodness, it can take us in a completely different direction. We've got to take a brief pause. We're with author and pastor Jeff Shreve. The book is called The Devil's Newsroom. We'll be right back.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily, world news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
So, Jeff, I'd love for you to elaborate on something I read. I believe it was on inside the book, or in the description anyway, the back cover perhaps. These lies are as old as time, and yet how readily we still believe them to this day. Believing the lies of Satan leads to a life of defeat and despair, but it doesn't have to be this way. And one of the lies is lies. God isn't really good. So elaborate on that a little bit more for us.
Yeah, so that's in my chapter, Liar, Liar, where I talk about Genesis 3. You know, the question that the serpent, the devil, poses to Eve, indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The devil is coming at her from the standpoint of saying, it doesn't make sense that God would make all these fruit trees and then tell you, you can't eat from every tree of the garden. And the reality is God didn't say that. He said, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but there's one tree that you can't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of that tree in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. So he paints God in a negative light, that God would make all this and then say, you know, it's almost like putting a carrot on a stick and say, oh, you can't have that. But God said, hey, I made this for you. I want you to enjoy yourself, but there's one tree you can't eat from. So it's very subtle how the devil lies. And that's why it says the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. He's always going to come very subtly. He doesn't hit us head on with, hey, here's a big lie. Get ready. It's always going to sound good.
Yes.
It's always going to make us question. And then once you start questioning the goodness of God, the word of God, the character and nature of God, he's got you on a path where he can twist you around like a pretzel. I mentioned this to somebody the other day, David. You know, the devil is such a good liar that he can make you think that up is down and right is wrong and black is white and a woman is a man and a man is a woman. And that's the world we're living in today. People actually argue a biological male can be a female and vice versa. It's just ludicrous.
Well, that was my next question. Thank you for setting that up, Pastor Jeff. Because I was thinking about that. I'm thinking, well, this is one of the illogical conclusions that you... Here's how do you respond to this? How could God allow you to be born in the wrong body? Because some people really believe that. And the question I wanted to ask was, these cultural movements and deceptions like gender neutrality and fluidity, they sow confusion and they cause people to doubt or even resent God, but they're based on lies, right?
Right. It's a total lie. And so once you start down that road, there's no off-ramp. It's like, I say this a lot, David. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. The Bible tells us that. The fear of the Lord is like the first button in your button-down shirt. If you get that wrong, I don't care how else you do the rest of the shirt, it's off because you miss the first buttonhole. Yeah. And so the fear of the Lord is understanding that God is God and you're not God. You give him his rightful place as king and you take your rightful place as doulos, as servant. And then when the world makes sense because, okay, God, this is how you set it up. This is what you said. You are good. You love me. The cross proves that you love me. And I can trust you even when I don't understand what you're doing because you understand it. And if you get that off and you start to question God in how he did things and how he created you, and then you're just barking up a tree that's going to lead to misery.
So you mentioned we talked about Genesis, which if we get that foundation wrong, the book of Genesis, let alone with Genesis 1 through 11 in particular, the whole thing, it's like the airline, you know, analogy again, you're going to be way off if you get Genesis wrong and creation wrong. But you talked about the serpent from the book of Genesis, but what can we learn about it from the book of Ezekiel?
Yeah, so when people read the Bible, they typically start in Genesis. It's the beginning of the book. And so it goes pretty well until you hit Genesis 4 and 5, and it's a bunch of Hebrew names, and it sounds like a Hebrew telephone directory, and they get bogged down. And but we are introduced to the serpent, this creature that comes on the scene in Genesis 3. It's like, well, where did he come from? When did God make this devil? Well, God didn't. And you have to go into Ezekiel, or two passages in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, that give us the backstory, how the serpent became the serpent and how the devil became the devil. God didn't create a devil. He created a beautiful creature, an angelic being named Lucifer. That name means light bearer, and that one was the leader of the angelic host and the greatest of all the angels, but he couldn't handle being the greatest of all the angels. That wasn't enough for him. And so I have a chapter in the book of how he became the false newscaster, the original, the OG of lies. And it was because he rebelled against God, and he said, "Well, I will be like the Most High God, and I'm going to overthrow God." And I tell you, David, he's such a prolific and persuasive liar that he got a third of the angels to go with him in the rebellion, and so they all became demons. The good news is they're 2/3 more holy angels than demonic spirits, but. That is how the devil became the devil, and Lucifer, the son of the morning, became Satan, the father of the night.
Yeah, it's really amazing, if you look at the world today in America, to think that there's only a third of the angels that became demons that are having this, I guess, impact. It's really astounding to me. But this is kind of slight. Go ahead.
We don't know how many angels there are. So,
Yeah, that's
even a
true.
third
Yeah.
could be a
Yeah.
huge amount.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I don't want to get off topic. I'm going to get right back to the book. I think you alluded to chapter 3 already, the world's most believed lie. Did you share what that was, or were you talking about something else in the chapter?
Yeah, no, what that is believing, the Philippian jailer asked the question of Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Right.
And so we have in our minds that if I'm going to get to heaven, it's because of
Oh.
something that I do. And so works are just kind of baked into our mindset. And really, when you boil it down, every religion outside of Christianity, biblical Christianity, every religion is spelled D-O. What must I do? I have to pray. I have to fast. I have to go to church. I have to give money. What do I have to do? And Christianity is the only one spelled done, D-O-N-E. It's already done. All you do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, turn from sin and self, and believe on Jesus. He did it all. I don't do anything. I just trust him to save me. It's kind of like a man drowning in the ocean. What did you do to be saved? I didn't do anything. The rescue team came, and I lifted up my hand to say I'm here, and they rescued me. That's all the Lord does for me. I mean, that's all we do. We don't contribute anything to our salvation. He saves us. We just have to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me."
Yes, and as believers in Christ who people that listen to you, people that watch our podcast, we are messengers of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. It's not up to us to get people saved, but it is up to us to speak and share the gospel so that they can make a decision, right? Share a little bit more about maybe the church and the believer's responsibility to continue to share no matter what, speak the truth, because there are so many lies out there that seem to be prevailing in our culture today.
Yes, so that's, we're commanded in Scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, we're to speak the truth in love and to grow up into all aspects into him who's the head, even Christ. So it's incumbent upon Christians to grow in our knowledge of the Lord. It says in Hebrews 5:14, solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And so when you are born again, you're just like in the physical, you're born a little baby, you're born a spiritual infant, you long for the pure milk of the word that by it you may grow with respect to salvation. And then we hopefully get off the milk and then we're on to the meat of the word, and we can feed ourselves and we can have our senses trained to discern good and evil. But if we don't have that, David, then, as Ephesians says, we're like children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. And so I think that's the way the devil really works. So he's trying to keep us from Christ so that you die and go to hell. And if he fails in that realm and you do become a Christian, then he's going to try and keep you from enjoying your Christian life and experiencing the abundant life. And the way he does that, he'll keep you away from the word. He'll keep you away from prayer. He'll keep you away from the church and the fellowship of believers. All those things are critical for us to grow.
There's an expression, I don't remember exactly what the quote or that idea is, but it goes something like, if Satan can't keep you from God, he'll keep you busy. So you won't be effective or productive for God. And that's another one of those lies. And that might lead to the idea of works again. I've got to be busy. Right. I've got to do all this. Do, like you said earlier, right?
Right. Yeah, I think a lot of people fall into that trap. It's kind of a performance trap. You know, if I do a lot, then God will love me. But if I'm not doing a lot, God's not going to love me. Hmm. And I don't know if you did this. When I was a kid, we would have like a girl that you liked in school and you'd pick up a flower. You know, she loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me. A lot of people do that. They think that's how God does it. And God loves me when I'm doing well, and he doesn't love me when I'm doing poorly. And the reality is, and it's just a great truth, God loves you when you're at your worst. He still loves you. He doesn't love you because of what you do. Adrian Rogers used to say this, God doesn't love you, or you're not valuable. How did he put it? God doesn't love you because you're valuable. You're valuable because God loves you.
Amen.
And everything flows back to God.
You know what I thought of when you just shared that? By the way, I love Adrian Rogers, but I thought of Imago Dei. If people just could grasp that truth that every human being, everyone is not a child of God, but we are all created in his image, and we are valuable no matter who you are. There's a nugget to take away. But Jeff, we ran out of time, went by very, very fast. I'd just love to give the websites again, fromhisheart.org, the ministry website, but the book website, thedevilsnewsroom.com. It was so great to connect with you, get to know you a little bit, Jeff, and appreciate the book and all you do and what you shared today. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, David. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Friends, God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.